Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, I'm joined on the line in our first topic this morning by MEP candidates Rory Hearn and Lisa Chambers, who will debate Ireland's housing crisis as 1,130 households here in Kildare were evicted in an 18-month period between 2023 and 2024. Rory Hearn is Associate Professor, Senior Lecturer in Social Policy at Maynooth University. He's Social Democrats candidate for the European election. And Lisa Chambers is a current Fianna Fáil senator and party candidate for the European elections as well. You're both welcome to the programme. Rory, we'll start off with you and get your assessment of the housing situation here in Ireland, something that you've been quite vocal on over the last number of years. How would you summarise what we're seeing today in terms of housing?
Thanks, Owen. Yeah, and good morning to yourself and to your listeners. The housing crisis, as I've described it a number of times, is both a social and economic disaster for young people in particular, younger generations. It is causing a major, major mental health crisis. It is causing emigration. And we see the scale of it in Kildare, and I did some analysis of the data of this, and we now have, based on the census 2022 figures, over 26,000 adults alone are living, who are over 18, are living with their parents in County Kildare alone. That is a phenomenal number. And these, you know, adults are, and I've spoken to many of them, they feel like they can't start their life. They feel that they are still children living under the parental home, and they feel very hopeless. And the other figure there you gave at the outset was the issue of evictions and evictions from the private rental sector. And that's also something that I was highlighting. And those figures that I put together show that exactly, as you said, over 1,000 households, which is equivalent to probably close to 3,000 people, have been evicted in Kildare alone in a year and a half. And that is equivalent to a third of everyone who's on the social housing waiting list in County Kildare. So it's a huge number. And I pointed out earlier last year that if the government lifted the eviction ban, that this is what we would see, an increase in homelessness. And we have seen that. And when we look at the housing crisis, I think it goes back to the absolute failure to deliver public housing on a major scale. And that includes affordable housing. And we can see in Kildare only 89 cost rental homes, only 19 affordable purchase homes delivered in Kildare last year. And yes, we saw almost one in three of new homes in Kildare being bought by non-households. Investor funds are still buying up housing in County Kildare.
Lisa Chambers, to bring you in on this then, and as Rory has outlined, rents are going up. House prices are going up. We have tens of thousands of young adults living in their parents' box rooms who are looking and saying, am I ever going to own my own home? What would you say? Because a lot of the finger pointing here is understandably at the government.
Yeah, good morning, Owen, and good morning to Rory and the listeners. And I suppose at the outset, I'm conscious that we're both running for the European Parliament elections, and obviously housing is not a competency of the European Parliament. It's a national competency, and it's a responsibility of the national government to deliver housing. And, you know, I think it's easy to point out the problems, as Rory is very adept at doing, but it's about the plan and what is being done to address the housing challenge. So since Fianna Fáil came into office in 2020, we asked for the housing brief because we viewed it as the most important portfolio for many people, because housing is such a huge challenge. And I acknowledge the challenges there, and we are a party of home ownership, and we want to deliver housing, and we are delivering housing. So what have the government been doing for the last 4 years in terms of delivering that on that promise? In Budget 24, over 5 billion euros of capital investment was put into housing. We've seen a huge turnaround in terms of the numbers. We've delivered new schemes and new opportunities. So we have an affordable purchase scheme available. That was new in this term. Local authority home loans. There's vacant and derelict grants available to get old properties back into use. And there's the first home equity scheme and the first time buyers grant as well. So there's lots of help there to help people buy their first home and to build their first home. And I think it's about bear in mind as well, when this government came into office in 2020, we had had a decade of undersupply that we are desperately trying to catch up on, as well as dealing with a significant increase in population. So that has made this all the more challenging, as well as the pandemic and the war in Ukraine, which impacted in terms of supply chain. So all of that, notwithstanding that, we have seen the numbers go in the right direction. And in Q1, quarter one of this year, so the first 3.5 months of this year, commencements in terms of homes that were started was nearly 12,000. And that is 63% higher than on the same period last year. And that's evidence of momentum. So the Housing for All plan is working. Yeah. It is taking time, but the numbers are going up. We also seen planning permissions in 2023 up 21%, and apartment completions in 2023 up 23%. So again, we're seeing momentum and we're seeing the numbers go in the right direction at a significant place. Remember that when we came in 2020, you know, we had a lot of catching up to do. So Housing for All is working, and I've listened to Rory on many shows and programmes, you know, and I know that he's made housing a plank of his European campaign, and as I said, the European Parliament doesn't really deal with housing. It's really for the national government.
Okay, well, let's bring Rory back in on that point then, Rory, and what Lisa is saying is really this is up to the councillors and up to the TDs to deal with housing and not necessarily for MEPs. So why are you so concerned about housing when you're running for the Europeans?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's not actually true that housing is just the competence of European member states, because the European Union has very significant influence on housing. If we look, for example, our interest rates are set at a European level by the European Central Bank. And interest rates are one of the key things that impact on housing in terms of mortgages that people are paying, in terms of people being able to get mortgages. And so the European Union has a central role. There's a number of areas that the European Union as well has an impact on housing. For example, the European Investment Bank is the European Union's bank that is available to invest in things like public infrastructure and housing. It is actually investing in housing in Ireland currently. That needs to be expanded, and as an MEP, I would push for that to be expanded. Also, the European Union has been promoted in this last Parliament, and hopefully if MEPs who are concerned about climate and social justice are elected, will continue in the next Parliament, the whole issue of the European Green Deal, and that is about sustainability. And one of the areas is sustainable housing that's energy efficient, but also tackling issues like vacancy and dereliction, because converting them into homes is one of the most sustainable forms of housing. And I think what we've seen actually towards the end of this Parliament is that housing was raised in the Parliament, because across Europe there are in other countries a similar housing crisis, not on the scale that we have, but they are affected. And in particular, they're affected by the issue of what we have seen here, which is investor funds buying up housing. And there is moves at a European Union level for coordination around trying to restrict the role of investor funds in buying up housing. So it's not true to say that the European Union doesn't have a role in housing. It does. Right. And as an MEP, I would make sure that the Irish housing crisis is put central to what I do.
Lisa Chambers, to go back to you then, and like it or lump it, as a TD, as a senator, as a councillor or as an MEP, when you go around and you talk about housing, particularly with these upcoming elections, candidates are going to be met with people conflating the two issues of housing and immigration. And already we're having messages coming into the programme this morning to saying that, you know, the fact that a lot of people can't get on the property ladder is because so many people are coming into this country. What would you say to that? It's been in the news over the weekend. Helen McEntee is meant to be meeting with members of the British Parliament. I think that meeting has been postponed because of the amount of people who are coming in to Ireland from the UK. Something that the government needs to clamp down on.
Yes, I kind of alluded to that in my previous point. And I said we are dealing with an increase in population as well as trying to catch up on that decade of undersupply. And just to reference some of Rory's points that he made, I think it's a bit of a stretch to suggest that the European Parliament has a significant influence on housing. It is a matter for national government. It is the responsibility of national government to deliver on housing. And things like interest rates are part of the European Central Bank's role, and it's not focused on housing as such. So, look, I'm not saying it's not an important topic. Of course it comes up and on the doors, you know, when people are presented with the policy, politician at the doorstep, they will raise whatever issue is important to them. So I've no problem discussing housing. But
okay,
I do think it's important to let
people
know,
for me there,
you know, what the role of an MEP is and what we can actually effectively do. In terms of immigration, it's a huge challenge. That's, you know, I mean, that goes without saying. And for my canvas in the last number of weeks across Kildare and other counties, it is coming up. And people want to know that their government have a plan. There is a humanitarian aspect to this. People understand that when people are fleeing to other countries, it's because they're desperate, they're fleeing conflict or changes to climate, or they're, you know, economic desperation. So there is huge global challenges, and this isn't just an issue for Ireland. I think what has arisen in the last week or so, where the Justice Minister has acknowledged that a significant number coming into the country appear to be coming in from England into Northern Ireland and then over the land border between the two jurisdictions. It's not an easy one to fix. I'll be honest about that. I understand the government are bringing emergency legislation to allow us to send people back to the UK if that's where they have first presented. But it's not an easy fix, and I wouldn't want to mislead people and say that it is. And I do think that for the UK government, for the British Prime Minister, to actually go on TV and say that his Rwanda policy was working and was a deterrent and use Ireland as evidence of that, I thought was absolutely disgraceful. As our nearest neighbour, a country that we have economic and social and cultural ties over many hundreds of years, and a country that we regard very highly and vice versa, for their Prime Minister to do that and to say that, I thought was absolutely disgraceful. And I would urge our own government to engage with the UK and to have an agreement in place in terms of how we deal with this shared challenge, and that, you know, Ireland doesn't become an avenue for the UK to move their challenges on. That's not the way neighbours should work. And I would hope that there are people with enough sense in the British government that will want to deal with this and understand that they shouldn't want to damage the relationship with Ireland on a long-term basis. But if they continue down this path, that is exactly what they will do. And I think there's huge anger out there with people, ordinary people, but even within government, huge anger at what the British government have done in the last number of days, right, particularly the comments and actions of the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. I just thought it was a very damaging outing for him to say that about the Irish government and our country, that we have somehow facilitated them being successful in their Rwanda policy. I thought it was really, really, really terrible.
And Rory Hearn, as I said from the outset, you're a Social Democrats European election candidate, but also in Maynooth University Associate Professor and Senior Lecturer in Social Policy. What's your views on immigration and how the Irish government have handled immigration here?
Yeah, I think from the very outset, I would be very clear, and I've made this point on many occasions, that immigrants and asylum seekers coming into this country have not caused the lack of housing. The lack of housing has been caused by government leases, party and Fine Gael, and the Greens' absolute failure to plan for housing, to expand the public delivery of housing, and, as I mentioned earlier, the issue of eviction bans. Like, it is just so wrong. The anger is being misdirected, purposely, by the far right, because it is Irish landlords who are evicting Irish people into homelessness in this country. It's not asylum seekers that are evicting people. And Lisa and their parties have put landlords ahead of people being made evicted. And I think what all this, you know, discussion about immigration, asylum seekers, it is all a distraction. And it is a purposeful distraction away from the real causes of this crisis. Because if people were really concerned about housing and homelessness, they would be pressuring the government to actually build more homes and to convert vacant housing. So I am very, very clear that, that we are a welcoming country, we should be a welcoming country, and that what we need to do is change our housing policies. And we have enough funding. We've 8 billion in surplus. We have vacant homes. We can house the people who are in this country, and that is what we should be doing.
All right, Lisa Chambers, the government are not doing that.
Can I respond to a couple of points that were made there? I mean, you know, listening to Rory, I mean, Rory, when he ran for People Before Profit previously, was vilifying landlords, and he's continuing the same vein now as a Social Democrats candidate. Landlords are not a problem. They're ordinary, decent people, most of them small landlords, and we need them in our housing sector to rent properties. They're not an issue. So I think we need to stop vilifying landlords because we want them to stay in the sector. And the government are building homes. And I spoke about some of the numbers earlier. We are exceeding our housing targets. Momentum is building.
Housing targets are very low, are they not?
Well, we would like to build more, but we have to build capacity in the sector. We have to get builders back in, trades people back in. There's been a big push on apprenticeships as well to get new people qualified. As I said, there were constraints in terms of supply chains because of the war in Ukraine and the pandemic. That really, you know, there were times during the term of this government when building came to a halt because of that. So even with all of those extraordinary challenges, the numbers are still increasing year on year. And as I said, commencements are up this quarter, up 68% on the previous year. So it's showing that the plan is working and it needs more time, but homes are being built. So look, I said, it's very easy to talk about the challenges and the problems. Rory has yet to give any solutions to this. And I think the government's plan is working and needs time to continue in its work. And I would agree, nobody's blaming people fleeing war and persecution for the housing issues, but it is just a fact that if you have more people in the country, there is a greater demand on housing and services. That's not, you know, that's not laying blame at anybody's door. It's just a fact of the context that we're working in.
The fact, Lisa, is though that there are vacant houses in this country, there are derelict homes that your policies haven't tackled for years. And you said about...
We have a vacant and derelict grant available, Rory, as you well know. And that is turning vacant properties back into homes that people are living in.
Which is only very, very recently introduced. And it's still not significant enough. And there are issues with it.
It is significant. I disagree with you on that.
Hang on a minute. You said I didn't present solutions. That is a solution. The grant should be increased. And also it needs to be provided up front as well in terms of people being able to invest. But also the issue of the vacant...
No, hang on.
The vacant property tax is another issue. The vacant
that
tax is, is an issue that is, in terms of people, it's self-declared. It's not actually been enforced.
But Rory, you're just taking government policies and saying we'll just increase
Lisa, let Rory finish.
Hang on. You're an elected senator. You think you'd give me a bit of time to express my views without talking
over me.
You're
well able to express your views, Rory.
Yeah, but I can't if you're talking over me. The question I would put back in terms of the whole issue, one of the big issues of asylum seekers, is why did this government hand tents to people and continue to hand tents to people, which sends a signal to the far right that you are right to say Ireland is full. We absolutely should be providing accommodation, and we could be, if the political will was there, to the people coming into this country. The handing of tents and handing of sleeping bags to individuals who are arriving here, to the single males, has been one of the most disastrous policies that we've seen in recent years. And my question is, why did you do that?
Lisa Chambers?
I'd love to come back in, actually. Rory, you're well aware, as somebody that's been a long-time political commentator and have run for a number of parties and elections, you know, and you know very well, the challenge the state is facing in terms of immigration. Tents are provided where we literally have no other accommodation available. When accommodation is available, it is provided. The government is making every effort, and every minister has been out and public representative saying that they don't want to see people in tents. And we're trying our best to give people roofs over their heads. But the challenge is so extraordinary. We've nearly 150,000 people have come into this country. We have never dealt with numbers on this scale. This is not just an Irish challenge. Other countries are in the same position as we are. And we are doing our best. And I think ordinary people recognise that the government is doing its best in this issue. And it's not because they don't want to provide accommodation. It's that there literally isn't anywhere to go at times. And women and children and families are being prioritised for obvious reasons, and I'm sure you'd agree with that. And we have had challenges across the country trying to find appropriate accommodation. And there's been challenges as well with the use of hotels, because rightly so, in parts of the country where tourism is a big employer and tourism is part of the local economy, lots of hotels want to continue to work in that sector. So we don't want to be taking that accommodation out of the system. So this is an ongoing difficulty and challenge. And, you know, migration is going to be an ongoing challenge for this state for years to come. It's the same across all European states, because people are fleeing difficult situations. And it is about trying to put policies in place, moving from an emergency phase into a more managed phase, which is what we're doing now. But I think most ordinary, decent people will recognise this has been a massive challenge. And we're not saying everything has been gotten right, but I think overall there are lots of good, positive stories right across the country where people have been welcomed and integrated, and it's working very well. But understandably, often it's the few bad situations that get highlighted the most, but it's not the full picture of what's happening across the country.
Finally to you, Rory Hearn, we're just tight for time, so briefly.
Very briefly, I would say that there are still many vacant public buildings across this country that could be used, and we could be housing those who are coming in here. And I think as well to say that the government is not doing everything it could be in terms of expanding the delivery of public housing. We have 8 billion of a surplus. Additional money could be given to local authorities. The Ocúlán Co-Housing Alliance, which delivers affordable housing, has told me that they are trying to get seed funding off the government to deliver affordable housing. There are more things could be done to expand and the delivery of social and affordable housing, and I will be putting those central to my campaign.
Right, listen, we'll have to leave it there. Dr. Rory Hearn, Associate Professor, Senior Lecturer in Social Policy at Maynooth University and Social Democrats European Election Candidate, and also Lisa Chambers, Fianna Fáil Senator and European Election Candidate for the party. Thanks for joining us both on the programme this morning. Lots of messages coming in. We'll get to a few of them now. One here saying, landlords have to pay 60% to revenue every year when they go legit. That's a ridiculous number. Once you take into account property tax fees and maintenance, it's costing some landlords to have a property. Not fair what the government are doing. Another one in here says we have pressure on us now because we have allowed so many people coming into this country. Our small villages are now expanding, which is causing more traffic. Can't even get through the likes of Salins or Clane, says Bill in Naas. Shannon O'Quishteen says, considering what's happening, the Irish government should officially end the so-called common travel area between Ireland and Britain. Ireland does not need a common travel area with Britain. Ireland should be in the Schengen zone. It would make travelling to other countries in the EU much easier. Another one says, good morning, I love listening to the show. Can you please inquire when the tap in Newbridge Cemetery will be fixed, as there has been no water supply to the cemetery for months? We covered that on the programme previously, and Kildare County Council says it is aware of that situation and it is working with Ishka Éireann to find a solution on that. Keep those messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Joe has texted in to say there's no housing crisis, there's too many people for the supply caused by the open border policy of the government. How many grants to renovate derelict properties have been given out, asks Joe. Another one in here says that I see Athy Council, or the council down in Athy, are going around putting stickers on vacant properties, but the same council have loads of properties they bought that are lying idle. Another one in here says, if the far right are so concerned about our people, why are they burning down perfectly good homes? We are all just people, regardless of colour or race, and we all deserve a roof over our heads. And that comes in from Mary. Let's go to a different issue altogether then, because Ken Scully is on the line, KWETB Director of Schools. Ken, thanks for taking our call. The new special school in Craddockstown in is going to open up very shortly. What can you tell us about this? Because it's been welcomed by a lot of people. There was some confusion about where it was going to be located. We were told it was going to be in the south of the county. It's in Naas, but only temporarily.
That's right. Good morning, and thank you very much for having us on to talk about this very exciting project for Kildare Wicklow ETB. You are right, I suppose. It had initially been mooted for a location in South Kildare, but the Department of Education weren't able to confirm its location at that time. So more recently then, we were looking for a temporary location to establish the school, pending the long-term venue for it, or location where it'll be. So back in November 23, the Department of Education announced four special schools to open across four different ETBs, and Kildare and Wicklow Education and Training Board is one of those. So we'll be the patron for September 24 already in Kildare and Wicklow. We operate a number of primary schools known as community national schools, post-primary schools, and then adult and further education as well. And this is our first time that we're going to be opening a special school in Kildare, which is absolutely fantastic. As you mentioned, it is in Craddockstown Educational Campus. It's going to be co-located with Naas Community National School. It'll be sharing that campus in a temporary capacity for, we're not sure how long, but the permanent location will be confirmed by the Department of Education as soon as possible.
Can you paint a picture for us then, what it's going to look like, what facilities are going to be there, and maybe how many students you can cater for?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a special school, so it'll be an appropriate education for students between the ages of 4 and 18 years of age who have a diagnosis of autism under certain criteria within that, DSM-5 and ICD-10, and complex learning needs. But it's also open for children with complex learning needs that have a professional recommendation for a placement within a special school. It's going to be set up with 4 classrooms, so 6 children in each class, so a ratio of 6 to 1 for the teachers, so that'll be 24 children. It'll be 4 classroom teachers and at least 8 special needs assistants as well.
Have you got a timeline as to when you're ready to open? Are you going to be ready for the next academic school year, and how's recruitment at the moment?
So that is the plan. We are hoping to open for September this year, so the start of the next academic year. Whether all 24 children will be enrolled, obviously on the first day, will need to be addressed as time goes on. And the admissions window is currently open. We're currently accepting applications for admissions from parents of students. It opened last Monday on the 22nd, and that's going to be open and continue to be open until Friday, the 10th of May at 4 o'clock.
In terms of recruitment, then, have you got the necessary amount of teachers and principal, etc., for the school? So that'll be one part of the question. The second part of the question, then, is can parents from all around the county apply for their child to go to this school?
So, yes. So, first of all, the recruitment for the principal, the principal advert is currently live. That can be looked at. You can go to Public Jobs, you can go to the KWETB website and education posts as well. So there are a number of ways. It'll all link back to the KWETB website in terms of applications. So that's currently live, and that's closing on the 7th of May, so the Tuesday after the bank holiday. Thereafter, we're going to be advertising there's also all special schools from September. Their deputy principal is going to be an administrative position as well. So we're going to be advertising that very soon, and then straight after that we are going to be putting up ads on education posts for the 4 teacher vacancies and also the 8 special needs assistants vacancies. In terms of the second part of the question was in the county. There is an application form also available on the KWETB website and the admissions policy, and it states the criteria for enrolment. So, first of all, once an applicant reaches the criteria of autism and or complex learning needs, it's going to be done by geographical location. So the priority is going to be for children who are currently not placed in any educational establishment. So they're children that are either just reaching the age of 4, maybe they have been in a place and it's broken down, or perhaps they haven't been at all. So we are, first of all, the priority is going to be given to those children who are living within Kildare. The second one is then Wicklow, because obviously we are Kildare and Wicklow, and there's obviously parts of Wicklow that are this side of the mountain range, so that would still be accessible by NACE. And then all other applicants from other parts of the country that are also unplaced. If we don't fill the 24 places within those 3, then it will go to children who have a place within a school. And again, priority will be given to those children from Kildare, followed by Wicklow, and followed by a broader geographical spread.
All right. You can get more information on kwetb.ie, that new school opening in Craddockstown in Naas for September, hopefully. And it's for children between 4 and 18 with special needs that have a diagnosis of autism. Ken Scully, KWETB Director of Schools, thanks for your time.